The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. And it's 14 after 7. Oregon Truck and Auto Authority on Airway Drive in Medford. Of course, the sponsor of the Outdoor Report. And every Friday we talk with Greg Roberts at RogueWeather.com. Of course, you're saying, but Bill, it's Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Well, I go on vacation starting tomorrow, so we moved it up a day. So we have Greg Roberts of Rogue Weather. And still, I'm taking an early Father's Day weekend, and I'm going to be off till I'll come back Wednesday morning. So I'm just going to be just noodling around at car shows and tractor shows, Greg. And let's see, maybe going to, Illinois Valley or, Josephine County Airport, you know, heading over there and going to their airport days. You know, doing all that kind of great, fun, dumb stuff, you know. When I say dumb stuff, I'm saying it affectionately, okay? There we go.
Yeah, I hope.
It's just guy stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I tell Linda what I'm doing, and she looks at me, it's like, this is something interesting to you, really? Yeah, it is. Cars, tractors, flea market, airplanes. I'm good with that, you know? So that's what I'm going to be doing this weekend.
If you could have found a tube-driven radio show to go to, it would have been perfect.
Well, yeah, that would have been like the... truly, the what do they call that?
Heaven?
Oh, yes, that's it. Something like that. Some cinnamon. I was losing track of the synonyms in my brain here. But anyway, let's talk about where we're going here. It's going to be a nice cool down. It's starting to be a little cooler today, but it really starts cooling down tomorrow and then this Saturday, right? It's the way things are looking.
Yeah, it's, you know. Seasonally, it's still spring. Meteorologically, we're in summer. That started June 1st. But seasonally, it's still spring, and we are going to be getting some really, temperatures more typical of probably April than June for sure, which is funny because back in March, I vividly remember we had some days in March. In fact, one of those hit with the Klamath County Sportsman Show when I was over in Klamath, and we had these unbelievably beautiful days that were far more typical of May then. Well, here we go with this. And no, it's not going to be a rain situation, but the temps are definitely going to be cooling. And if you're planning to go in the mountains this weekend, you definitely want to be taking along warm clothes because some of our more popular recreation points up there, Diamond Lake, Lake of the Woods, Howard Prairie, we're looking at the potential for temperatures getting down as low as the 20s for overnight lows up there.
Yeah, so the idea of just going up there, and I know Darren Thornton would probably do this, but, you know, Carhartt shorts and a Carhartt t-shirt, you might be a little chilly up there.
Yeah, Darren, I am sure if he was going to the North Pole, he would still wear his Carhartt shorts and his t-shirt. So you take Darren Thornton out of the equation and pretty much everybody else will be wanting to bundle up. Even, you know, the Rogues games, because I'm the announcer at the Rogues games. Our Rogues games Saturday and Sunday, you will probably want to be sweatshirt, hoodies, that type of thing, once the sun goes down for sure.
By the way,
it's going to be a noticeable chill.
By the way, what are the different days you have going on there since you're the announcer? What's happening on this homestand Saturday and Sunday? We're going to be giving away some tickets here as soon as we hang up, okay?
Probably even bigger than that. We're going to do a fireworks show on Friday that the owner, Dave May, is telling me it's going to be the loudest fireworks show that we've ever done with the Rogues. We've been doing this for a couple seasons now where every Friday home game in June we do fireworks. Mm-hmm. Dave is saying this is going to be the loudest one we've ever done. And he goes, which means it's probably going to be one of the loudest that's ever been done anywhere in the valley. So, okay, we have that to look forward to. And then Saturday and Sunday, of course, Sunday is Father's Day. What dad doesn't like to go to a baseball game? Well, I'm sure there's some, but it's great family entertainment and free family entertainment because on Sundays, general admission is no charge.
Wow, that's really cool. So I'm going to be giving away.
Really cool.
So I've got tickets to give away. And by the way, they're good for everything except fireworks. They're good for all the games except the fireworks games. But it's good through the season. And we're going to make sure that people get out to the park here. The baseball's been pretty good from what I'm hearing, huh? You agree?
Yeah, and you know, we're getting our higher end level players in now. We're getting our Division I players. Our players from the Oregon State Beavers will be in town this weekend. They're making their way here now after their season wrapped up sadly on Sunday. But our head coach, who is a Beavers assistant, he has made it. One of our assistant coaches who's on staff for the Beavers, he's here now too. So we've got our core three players, Matt Morrell, Tyce Peterson, and, spaced the name of the other guy. I need to look at my roster. But we have three core players that will definitely be here. But we are also going to be seeing Jacob Craig, Dallas Macias, Tyler Mejia, Wilson Weber, guys who are big-time contributors for the Beavers. They will be cycling into Medford because those guys are not playing on a regular basis, summer collegiate. They're all attending various skill development camps. And these are camps that, like, Travis Bazana has attended in the past. A lot of major league players have attended. So these guys are going to these camps, but then once they're done with the camps, we're going to have them show up here in Medford because they definitely want to give them a little game action as well. So the Beaver fan in me, and well, part of Beaver Nation too, because when the Beavers do their fall games here, I get to announce those too, which is awesome.
That's very cool. Let me just say,
we're going to be seeing the higher end talent for the Beavers coming into town, and three of those guys are going to be playing here on a regular basis. So we're looking forward to that.
All right, great story here. Let's shift it over to fishing. Where's the best fishing going to be this weekend? I think the expo ponds with the temperatures would probably be okay, but what about those high mountain lakes and maybe even the coast? How's the coast looking? Because you could get out there before they start doing the chip sealing on Monday, you know, which is going to put a big delay into people getting in and out of the coast on 199. What do you think?
Yeah, well, you know, again, they're starting on Monday to get it through the weekend, but right now fishing is really good across Jackson and Josephine counties.
Good.
You mentioned the expo ponds. We were talking about that. These lower elevation valley floor ponds, I will include Agate Lake in that group as well, they're in transition time now. The trout fishing is starting to slow in them, but they've got all these warm water species, and as the water warms, those species, be it bass, bluegill, crappie, perch, whatever it is, catfish, they all start going on a more active bite. So for the ponds plus Agate Lake, you're going to be making a transition to wanting to target those warm water species for better fishing. But that's also a lot of fun fishing for kids because that's the type of fishing that the bobber and worm approach works excellently. So still a great way to get out and have a lot of fun. Again, the trout fishing is definitely holding up, you know, in the mountain lakes and, of course, Lost Creek. And an interesting thing about Lost Creek, Diamond Lake this year, I have seen more people catching browns at Diamond Lake than I have seen. And since they started putting them in there, I knew they were there. We just hadn't been seeing them showing up in the catches very much. I caught one last year during the fishing derby. It was my first one in Diamond Lake. But this year, oh my goodness, are people ever catching them? And they're really good size. Now, of course, in Diamond Lake, they've got to go back in. They're there for a reason. So you're supposed to release them unharmed. But Lost Creek has browns in it. And the people going up at the far end of the lake where the river comes into Lost Creek, they're starting to pick up browns. And, in fact, I posted a picture on Rogue Weather's Facebook page talking about free fishing weekend. I used a picture of a brown that was caught recently in Lost Creek that was just under 5 pounds.
All right. Good to know.
So, yeah, there's definitely quality browns in Lost Creek, and my favorite approach to go after them in Lost Creek has always been put out crawfish traps, get a bunch of crawfish, get up there, get a fresh crawfish, take the tail off, get the shell off of it, then you put that fresh tail meat on a hook. You snell it just like you're going to do row for steelhead in the river. And then you side drift it, just get up into the current coming into the lake, and then side drift that crawdad tail just like you're side drifting row, and the browns come and pick it up, because crawfish meat to a brown trout is candy.
All right.
You can't resist it.
Okay. Let's touch on a couple of things briefly. We had, before we take off here for the weekend here, Greg, and one of them was Highway 230, and some changes there on Highway 230. Yeah. You want people to know about going to the cutoff route, and also with bears coming to Oregon, because we were already talking last week about how they want to release them in Washington, or the plan right. is to do that, right?
Well, let's start with the 230 situation. I hadn't been on it in a while until Memorial Day weekend, and we drove up to Redmond and back to, you know, go see some guys that I had been in Redmond Fire Department with. I was absolutely stunned at how poor the road surface condition of Highway 230 was from milepost 12 to the 138 junction. Mm. Then coming up from the Rogue River, where you've got all those ash deposits from Mazama from long ago, I'm looking at trees that their root wads are exposed, hanging right above the road.
Uh-oh.
And knowing they're going to come down into the road. Well, I started talking to people at ODOT, and I have a source who revealed a very stunning bit of information about 230. Get ready for this. They don't intend to repave it. They intend to just gravel it, and it is highly likely that they are going to close it in the winter. So if
wow.
you're going up to Diamond Lake to go snowmobiling, you may have to literally unload at Union Creek and snowmobile all the way in. And then in the winter, for autos, vehicles, forget it.
Yeah, it's just going to be turned into a bad forest road in the winter, right?
Exactly.
Wow.
And that's due to overall the budget situation. If Highway 230 was anywhere close to Portland, wouldn't be happening.
Mm-hmm.
Highway 199, getting basically that process, what my grandpa calls macadamizing, or called it,
uh-huh.
where they put the tar down and then throw the rocks down on it.
Yeah, chip seal.
They're doing that approach because they don't have the budget for asphalt.
Okay. Well, I guess we're finding out what happens when you run out of other people's money, and yet ODOT still has 5,000 employees. What are they actually doing there? I don't know.
That's going to be a really interesting question, but where it comes to road maintenance monies, they're choking it off again for Southern Oregon.
Hmm. Now, 199, that would be federal funding, though, wouldn't it? 199?
There might be some, but still the majority of the dollars expended on 199 is going to come out of Oregon or California or both's budget.
All right, very good. Not good, but all right, finally, do a quick thing on the bears, and then we got to roll, okay?
Yeah, you know, now there's a lot of media attention about what they want to do, releasing grizzlies in the Northern Cascades in Washington, which it's stupid. It's a waste of taxpayer money because the grizzlies are already doing it on their own, just like the wolves were doing in Colorado. But I guess, apparently to somebody, Mother Nature is not doing it fast enough, and they're not content with that. And they're hell-bent and determined that in their lifetime, they're going to be able to say, we have grizzlies in the Northern Cascades, even though there's already grizzlies in the Northern Cascades.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to force the issue. That is actually on the drawing plan for down here in southwestern Oregon and northwestern California. There are groups, some of whom were involved in getting wolves put into Yellowstone and Idaho, that they are bound and determined to get grizzlies released down here. And they will not ever stop.
Ah, it's the Wildlands Project that we've been talking about for a number of years. Okay. So look at the map, and we'll have grizzlies and wolves going across the road, and then the 15-minute prison city where humans may be permitted unless people stand up and start standing up really hard against this kind of agenda.
Yeah, you're going to have to, almost to the point of what happened with ODF and the fire map. Mm-hmm. When it became clear that the peasants were going to rebel and were coming with the pitchforks and the torches, you saw how fast that went away. That's probably going to have to be the same kind of situation on the Grizzly Release Project down here in Southwest Oregon and Northwest California, because they will not listen to you at all.
Unless you decide to become ungovernable by their point of view. Okay, I have a feeling you're going to have to be rather uppity and in their face. We'll just kind of leave it at that, okay? All right, Mr. Outdoors, I appreciate the update here. A lot going on, a lot of things to do this weekend. We will catch you next Friday, normal time, same channel, and we appreciate that at rogueweather.com. You be well. Have a great time, okay? Take care.
You too, Bill.
All right. It is 729, and the Outdoor Report, sponsored by Oregon Truck and Auto Authority on Airway Drive in Medford.
Getting ready to refinance or sell your property? Once you get the process started, there'll be appraisals and inspections and, yes, well tests. So get ahead of the game and get your water tested now. You'll get the immediate peace of mind that comes with knowing what's in your water, plus you'll be able to close the deal faster. The team at Grants Pass Water Lab are ready to help. Look us up online at thewaterlab.com or gpwaterlab.com.
Looking for reliable roofing experts? Turn to the family-owned gem of our community, Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc., your go-to for metal roofing solutions, offering 25-year workmanship guarantee on all projects. New construction, re-roofing project, residential or commercial, they've got you covered. This experienced team ensures a stress-free experience from start to finish. Choose quality. Choose Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. for your metal roofing needs. Call today. Get an estimate tomorrow, 541-941-3736.
The best technology should make the world more beautiful, life more rewarding, and pull people closer. And the very best tech does all this without harming the planet. TimberTech decking, the best performing, longest lasting, and most lifelike look of real wood. Because the best deck naturally comes from the best tech. TimberTech, go against the grain. Hughes Lumber TimberTech sale is going on now. Don't miss out.
Dreaming of moving to your dream property in the county? Most rural properties rely on a well. Plowser Drilling is here to make sure your dream doesn't turn into a nightmare. Before you buy, you'll want to make sure the well is producing plenty of water. If a new well is needed, making sure the property has good water is vital. Plowser Drilling can help. They have drilled thousands of wells in Southern Oregon and can help you make an informed decision. Plowser Drilling can perform research, schedule an on-site visit, and provide free estimates based on your area. Visit PlowserDrilling.com.
The Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMET.
7:32. By the way, we are going to have a Diner 62 Real American Quiz sometime between now and 9 o'clock. All right? We're going to do that. Right now, what I'd like to do is, a couple of things, actually. I would like to give away some tickets to the Medford Rogues. They got this big home game stand going on this weekend here. And we have tickets. I have a pair of tickets for, in fact, I'm going to give away three pair of tickets right now. Just feeling really generous here. Three pair of tickets in for all Rogue home games they're good for. And it excludes the fireworks on Friday night. So everything except the fireworks, okay? But we'll just take you at, I'll just take caller one, two, and three. Just make it easy here because it's early and I'm still tired because my coffee is not really kicked in much, okay? But we'll get you taken care of there and have some fun and go see some baseball this weekend, next week, or anytime we have the Rogue games going on through the end of July, okay? It is 7:32. Also, an email of the day. I wanted to do one of these quickly. I've been saving this email because I thought Mark from Grants Pass had such an interesting thought here, okay? Email of the day is sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson in Central Point Family Dentistry. CentralPointFamilyDentistry.com. It's on Freeman Way in Central Point, right next door to the Mazatlan Mexican Restaurant. While you wait, crowns available in many cases. In-house lab. They don't have to send it out. Talk to them about that. Get your appointment today. And Mark from Grants Pass writes, and he sent this also to the assessor. And he says, hey, in the assessor's office, there's a vast amount of free time. I mean, the county budget is down $11 million. The general expenses are up 14%. State budget will follow this trend as always. And Mark posed an incredibly interesting question here. Has anybody done a study on property valuation effects from the homeless bum camps in the city parks? in particular, commercial business and residential property sales that are adversely affected by the homeless camp effect. I mean, what's the cost approach, the market sales approach, income approach? Mark says he spent over 10 years as a tax appraiser for the DOR in Josephine and Douglas counties. Still holds a few licenses, he says, but anymore I just do internal appraisals for private entities. I'd like to share more with you, but I'm bound by confidentiality agreements. But anyway, he says he's always kind of liked numbers. Mark, that is such an interesting question. It's the one question I have heard nobody really pose. What has happened to the value of everybody forced to live around bumdom? When the cities, what happens to the city, and why hasn't this impacted their valuation? Or has it impacted their assessed value? I don't know. But it's one of the most, I hadn't even considered this. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're forced to have, 10 cities around you. There has to be some impact to that, wouldn't you think? Good doing that, Mark. All right. 734 at KMED and 99.3 KBXG.
The term for people who are both hungry and angry is hangry. Well, Garrison Sleep has coined a new word for that annoying, irritable feeling from spending another sleepless night on a crappy mattress. It's called slangry. And the only known treatment is a new mattress from Garrison Sleep. Our team has the tools and the talent to map and match you with the mattress of your dreams. At Garrison Sleep, we specialize in slanger management. And mattresses, too. Garrisons.com. We got your back, literally.
Are you a renter? Do you know that for the price of a pizza, you can purchase insurance to protect your life's possessions? Your landlord's insurance won't cover your belongings in a fire or theft. Make sure to protect yourself and your valuables. Buy renter's insurance. It covers your belongings, provides liability protection, and may pay for additional living expenses, such as hotel bills or restaurant meals, if a covered loss forces you to temporarily move out. Renter's insurance is affordable. It often costs less than $20 a month. Ask your insurance agent or company about multi-policy discounts when purchasing renter's insurance. The Division of Financial Regulation has a shopping tool to help you compare renter's insurance policies. Go to dfr.oregon.gov and type renter's insurance into the search bar. Spending that pizza money on renter's insurance will protect you when you need it the most. This message brought to you by the Oregon Division of Financial Regulation, the Oregon Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
News is sponsored by Millett Construction, specializing in foundation repair and replacement. Get on solid ground by visiting MillettConstruction.com.
With SRN News, I'm Jeremy House in Washington. The Supreme Court has preserved access to a medication that was used in nearly two-thirds of all abortions in the U.S. last year. The justices ruled today that pro-life groups lack the legal right to sue over the Federal Food and Drug Administration's approval of the medication, mifepristone, and the FDA's subsequent actions to ease access to it. Italy is hosting the summit of the group's seven industrialized nations in the wake of the European Parliament election that saw a surge in support for conservatives in places like G7 members France and Germany. The number of Americans filing for jobless benefits jumped to the highest level in 10 months last week. Unemployment benefit applications for the week ending June 8th rose by 13,000 to 242,000. On Wall Street, the Dow is down 266 points. More details at srnnews.com.
One of each Forte VIN 785766, MSRP 21645, Sol VIN 237299, MSRP 22140, 3500 due 10K miles per year, zero security deposit, all incentives and discounts to dealer plus tax, title license, 150 registration processing fee, trading in a vehicle will not eliminate your debt, negative equity applied to new loan balance, and 63024.
Thinking about a new ride? It's time to trade in, trade up, and save at Kia Medford during the Summer Sticker Sales Event. Hurry in to get more cash for your trade-in. Then trade up and save on our huge Kia selection, like a new 2024 Kia Forte LXS or a new 2024 Kia Soul LX. Just $139 a month lease, both for 24 months. Plus, once we make a deal at Kia Medford, we'll pay off your trade no matter how much you owe. Need credit? Go to KiaMedford.com to get pre-approved in less than 30 seconds with no effect on your credit score. Then find the Kia you really want, like Fortes or Souls. Just $139 a month. Trade in, trade up, and save at Kia Medford. Click KiaMedford.com.
This hour of the Bill Meyer Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros on Main Street in Phoenix.
It's a great time to travel, and Phoenix Auto Center invites you to stop by before you hit the road. Jolene here, reminding you that taking care of your vehicle to keep you driving safely is what we do. We install top brand name tires for exceptional performance and handling, and we provide full service auto and RV repair too. You can count on us for tune-ups, brakes, shocks, alignments, cooling systems, vehicle manufacturer maintenance, and more. Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros, serving Rogue Valley drivers since 1970.
If you're remodeling your house, start with the foundation. Millett Construction offers a no-pressure, thorough inspection of your home's foundation and a no-obligation estimate if your house needs work. The foundation is most important because all of the repairs and upgrades you're planning, from the floors, windows, doors, cabinets, even the roof, can be affected if your foundation is unstable. Be sure you're on solid ground. Millett Construction will level your house and correct the shifting soil problem. Visit MillettConstruction.com.
Hi, I'm Paul Strandberg with Valley View Nursery, and I'm on KMED.
I was reading some news last night and doing a little prep for today, thinking about some of the things I wanted to talk about, and I come across this story, Daily Courier, Bertschinger West Target OSU extension. Well, I remember what just a huge brouhaha there had to do with the funding of the OSU extension office in Josephine County. And there is a small property tax attached to that. And Herman, I guess maybe you're just out there wanting to make sure the kids don't have 4-H. Is that the story coming out of the Courier? What do you think?
No, I am a big 4-H supporter. All my kids, my family, been through all that. Bill, when you're an elected official, one of your main obligations to the taxpayer is to keep your eye out for misuse of taxpayer dollars, fraud, and corruption. That's why we have the citizens elect elected officials. That's our job. So, you know, when I get a budget, when they ask me to pass a budget for $1,097,900, and they can't answer the questions, I'm simply not going to pass the budget, Bill.
All right. So what questions was the extension office not willing to answer yesterday or the other day? Was this a budget committee meeting, or when was this meeting actually held, and in what context, if you can explain?
This was held Tuesday, and it was a budget committee convened by the so on that budget committee, we have two people. We actually have three people from the public, and there's three of the commissioners on that.
Okay.
We have one open seat, so we only had two people from the public. And you review it, and, you know, they could not. So there's multiple programs within Oregon State University here at the county level. And I wanted to break down how much money flows in and out of 4-H, how much money flows in and out of forestry, how much money flows in and out of master gardeners, how many fees do you collect from master gardeners? How many fees do you collect from 4-H? How many fees? How many kids are in 4-H? How many kids are in 4-H livestock? All those are pertinent questions, and there's no answers. There's no answer.
Okay, well, one question I've always wanted to know, and I know that there are many people that enjoy master gardeners, but why did we decide that taxpayer money needs to be spent to shore up, you know, gardeners around here in Southwest Oregon? Is that
well? My recollection, I can't even talk this morning. Of back in 1996. We were involved in 4-H at that time, and I was a promoter of the tax levy for 4-H because I believe in the program, and it was done very well. They had a lot of kids back then. I believe the number's like 790. And so there's other programs that kind of rode on the shirt tail of that, master gardeners, forestry, and stuff like that.
Okay, well, I understand the 4-H stuff. It's for the kids, though, but master gardeners, and like I said, I have no axe to grind against master gardeners, but, you know, you know, I could be a master radio technician or have a radio club there at taxpayer expense, but I'm not looking for taxpayer money. I'm just like wondering how that came to be. I don't get to get off on the weeds. I'm sorry. It's just something I've always wanted to ask. Yeah.
Well, so I've had to dig in, and from what I'm being told, that the 4-H livestock program has one steer, three pigs, a sheep and a goat, or maybe it's two sheep and a goat. Anyway, it's a very small number of individuals because they've all moved over this youth ag, which broke away. But, you know, the youth ag people are pretty accommodating because they said, look, those few people that are left in 4-H, they're more than welcome to participate in the livestock judging and the livestock auction, which is sponsored by the Grants Pass Active Club.
Oh, okay. So this was back to that. That was when 4-H through OHSU was going woke, right? That was, and then a lot of the people ended up, a lot of the kids ended up leaving that, right? Is that what happened?
The woke, and what it else is, there was one of the clubs in 4-H was called Joe's Place. And Joe meaning Jesus over everything. That's what Joe means. And
4-H didn't like that, if I recall correctly.
They
right?
did not like that. Mm-hmm. And so that was just one club of many. It wasn't the whole. And so, but all the other clubs said, well, why can't Joe's Place participate? And, you know, all their religious-based group, they can't participate. And so then they all broke away. They all broke away.
Wow.
And so now you have youth ag doing their own thing. And so now Oregon State Extension Office, oh, we've reached out. Now we're going to schools. We're doing this. We're doing. So they're trying to get more kids into the program. But it's just, it's not working. It's just not working. But let's go back to the basics. I'm elected official.
And this is about the budgeting because you were asking some questions. Let's dig into those questions now. Maybe I got off in the weeds and I apologize for that, but I just remember what had happened. I think that was about a year and a half ago, you know, that controversy
right.
going on.
And I, you know, I spent 8 years in the Senate on the Revenue Finance Committee. Every time I had a detailed question on the budget or something, I would contact Legislative Fiscal Office or Legislative Revenue Office. And gosh, within a day or a half a day, they would produce the information. Here at the county level, anytime I need a detail, our finance director will produce it. And when I asked them for details, they just said, no details, it's one program. And I'm saying, No, you have multiple programs, and I want to know how you expend, how you appropriate the money per program.
Well, you'd like to see, are they putting more money into 4-H? Are they putting in the Master Gardener? Where is it going, right? So you wanted to actually know the details, not just here's the big lump of money just to prove it, right?
Right.
Okay.
So here you have over a million dollars, okay? You see that all of these kids have left the program in the livestock program. So where's all this money? You got 100, what I think they told me, about 125 people, Master Gardeners. Are they getting the entire $1 million now for 125 people that are probably, safe to say, over the age of 65, most of them? You know, so where's the money going? Which program is that money going to?
So what did OHSU Extension say then when you asked for a detailed budget of what they wanted to do with all this money?
They didn't have the information. So,
okay.
I
can't believe that they did. Well, I can't believe that they didn't have that information. Maybe they didn't bring it with them. But there has to be some idea. They have to have some idea how they're going to spend the money, don't they?
Exactly. And so, Bill, I did the prudent thing, and we've done it in the legislature. Sometimes, you know, people aren't fully prepared or whatever. And so I made a motion to table the question of the OH budget until they have an opportunity to produce the information that I requested. And I was just stunned by the budget committee not to carry that motion, including Commissioner DeYoung. So now, so at the end of the day, the county commissioners have the final say, and that'll come on June 28th, whether to levy the 4 cents
It's about 4.5 cents or so per thousand. Yeah. It's a small property tax, but it's still money that would go on the bill.
Right.
Sure.
And so the budget committee that voted not to table the question has killed the whole program, because there is no way I am going to vote to levy taxes not knowing where they're going.
All right. Now, I want to be clear, because the Daily Courier headline says Bearchigger West Target OSU Extension. Sure. If I understand correctly what I'm on the hearing, it wasn't targeting OSU Extension. It's that, we'll approve it, but we want to know the details about the budget. Was that kind of where you were both really coming from on this?
Yeah, I mean, the Courier should be saying, thank goodness for West and Bearchigger are holding a government entity's feet to the fire to answer questions how they're appropriating taxpayer dollars.
Because let's just say, for example, if all the money instead of, because I would imagine that many of the people that were happy with this kind of assessment for the extension service like the idea of helping the kids, right? But may not necessarily like to be using it to pad a gardening, the big Master Gardeners program. Nothing against that. I think that's something we could be doing privately, but I'm sure I'd lose that argument everywhere.
And I don't have a problem with them kind of running on the sheer tails of 4-H and everything. They're, that's okay, whatever.
Maybe there's not much going on in 4-H and OSU doesn't want to tell you that.
Well, then I looked. They collected $12,000 in fees, most of it from the Master Gardeners. So now the participants of Master Gardeners are actually paying to be part of Master Gardeners. Where is this $1 million going then? Where's it going?
It's reasonable to ask the question, and it would be wise for OSU Extension just to cough up the data. They have to have something.
But, Bill, here's the problem. It's too late. The committee didn't table the question.
Oh.
The question was answered last night. The budget was approved.
Oh.
Now, even if Oregon State University produces the information that we requested, we cannot discuss the budget outside of a budget committee, and the budget committee has already answered the questions. So we're done.
Why was everybody so much in favor, though, of not getting any details out of them and just say, Jace, hey, hand us the $1 million or so and don't ask any questions? Why were people in favor of that?
I am so disappointed in Commissioner DeYoung not wanting to get more. And he said, well, we'll get more information later on. Well, that doesn't do us any good because we can't discuss it and the question's already been answered.
Okay, the questions have already been answered without being answered. In other words, that's the answer. We're not going to answer
right.
You. Okay, now.
Mr. DeYoung basically killed the funding to Oregon State University.
Now, he didn't kill the funding, but what happened, though, is that what's going to happen is that the next time there is a meeting on whether or not you're going to put that tax on the Josephine County property owners, you're going to vote no, right?
Yes, I'm voting no.
Okay.
I cannot, in my conscience, vote yes when my questions weren't answered how you're going to spend the taxpayer dollars.
So it is not West and Bearchigger targeting and killing OSU Extension. It's OSU Extension and others being incurious or unwilling to cough up the information about where the money was going. That was the real issue in play.
This is a big problem in general in local government across this country, is elective officials just rubber stamping whatever the bureaucrats put under their nose. It has to stop. This is why we're running out of money. This is why we have all these problems. This is the problem with ODOT we talked about on Tuesday. Okay, I always look at the other side of the ledger. What is going, how are they spending their money? And that's why we have the system of electing people so that they can watch over the taxpayer dollars. I'm not saying that OHU, Extension, 4-H, any of those are bad things. Like I said, I supported it in 96. My kids were deeply involved. My wife was deeply involved with it. That's fine. But you've got to tell me how you're $1 million is a lot of money for how many participants they're telling me are participating anymore.
And then you start wondering, well, are they just going to hire, you know, more bodies? Is it just going to grow some OSU extension service bureaucracy? And these are kind of questions that you'd probably want answered by the
board. Right. Like they have, you know, they have like $25,000 in travel expenses. Okay, that's great. Where are you traveling and what are you doing? Okay, that's a good question. All right. Mm-hmm. I want to know. And here's another interesting thing. Since this has happened on Tuesday, I've had other phone calls from other people in other counties that are asking the same question in those counties. So now I'm scratching my head. Do we have a internal problem with Oregon State University Extension Service across the state? I don't know, but I think that the legislature needs to start looking into this.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. Now, final question I would have for you, Commissioner Baruchiger. We're talking about this OSU extension issue in Joe County. Since you can't talk about this now outside of the Budget Committee, because the Budget Committee is over here, can it be brought up again if OSU does bring a report in, hey, here's the information, blah, 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 this is what we plan on doing with it, could it then be brought back into the budgetary discussions? I don't know how that process works, and I'm sorry if I'm asking a dumb question.
No. So how the process would work is the Budget Committee would have to reconvene. Then there would have to be a motion to reconsider the question.
Okay.
That would be the first thing. So that would have to be yes or no. If it's no, then you're done. If it's yes, you can reconsider the question and listen to the evidence, and then vote on the question again. But from what I heard from the three people that voted the budget in, I highly doubt that they're going to reconsider.
Is there a deadline to be able to impose the tax, to assess the tax on Josephine County?
The county commissioners have the final say. Three county commissioners have the final say, and I believe that's on the 28th.
On the 28th. All right, so there's a couple of weeks to possibly get this fixed, right?
Yeah. In my entire political career, I was just floored that they did not table the question. It was the most stupidest thing I've ever seen in my political career, and I've sat in thousands of committee meetings up in Salem. And why wouldn't you want to table the question anticipating more information to make your decision? Absolutely bizarre.
Yeah, and I have no evidence on this, but knowing how government bureaucracy tends to work, that if you're really proud and there's nothing to hide in where you are planning on spending the money, you would probably have that. Oh, yeah, here you go, commissioners and budget committee. Here it is, and we're going to spend this and that and the other on cups and travel, and we're going to do some repairs on this building, et cetera, et cetera. And then you go, oh, okay, now I know where it's going, and then we can approve it, right? That's all.
And the Extension Service brought three people that are involved in the budget of Oregon State University Extension Service. Three people they brought, I think two of them from Corvallis, and they couldn't answer the question?
Yeah, that doesn't work. I understand where you're going, but okay. So, but they're still going to say, it's your fault.
We just went through budget hearings at the county level, and there was all kinds of questions answered. And sometimes they say, we have to get back with you and all of that. And that's fine.
Yeah, you get that. You get that. Maybe they don't have the entire budget there, but okay, fine. Yeah. All you have to do is just say, hold on, table the question, we'll come back, and then we'll get all your questions answered. Life's good. Okay.
Yes. And like I said, it was one of the more bizarre meetings I've ever attended in my political career.
Is there a sense, perhaps, of OSU Extension Service, like just an entitlement kind of thing? Just, trust us?
All right. The one thing that was interesting is I did talk to their government affairs person at Oregon State University, who I know very well. That individual used to be the head of the Farm Bureau. I worked with her for years, so we have a really good relationship. And she says, well, I am being told that there's a lot of support and that the crowd was overwhelming in support of this budget. And I said, Katie, I said, you had somewhere in the neighborhood of 30 people mostly from the master gardeners over the age of 65. We had one parent in 4-H livestock, and that was about it. Now, if you say that's overwhelming, well, then your definition and mine are two different things. And she just went, oh.
In other words, you're digging your heels in, right?
Okay. Well, no. I think what she was alluding to is what my people are telling me and what you're telling me are two different things.
Got it.
So,
all right. Yeah. Very good. Commissioner Baritsugar with me. Herman, let's see if we can grab a call or two. May have a question about this, and we'll try to get to the bottom of this. Hi. Good morning. You're on KMED and KBXG. Who's this? Good morning.
Yeah. Hey, Bill. It's Richard with the Eagle.
Hey, Richard. And, take it away.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. And for Commissioner, I'm right in the middle of writing an article on this for the next Eagle that's going to be out in a week. But when I look at my article from a year ago, and when the commissioners held the meeting, they had 20 speakers, it's not a rumor that there were problems, you know, about the religious stuff. These people were in front of the commissioners speaking about the religious neutrality policy that was put in place on a state level by the Extension Service and how that affected Joe's Place, and then how it also affected members of Faithful Farmers Club were told to wear their shirts inside out because the shirts included a cross. Even though they didn't have a 4-H symbol on those shirts, they were still asked. Now, let me just quote from my article a year ago. Nancy Nelson described her experience protecting local swine from a national swine virus. Quote, I received no support from the local extension office and had to protect local swine, quote, on my own dime. She concluded her remarks with, we got zero responses to our letter sent to 4-H about our concerns. So that was comments from a year ago. And then one of the founders of Youth and Ag, Jen McGowan, said a year ago that the kids in 4-H never saw a dollar of the $30 fee each one paid to 4-H. So, you know, so they're paying $30 a year into 4-H a year ago. The parents were still doing all the leadership and all the work, and they just weren't getting the support. Now, so I'll just stop there and let you.
So the two commissioners questioning this are not, that will obviously vote this down. Do you believe that that was a wise thing to do?
Yeah, I agree. No, I think it was a wise thing to do. I mean, no government program. I mean, I know they're really easy to start and they're incredibly hard to end. I mean, it's almost, you almost have to go back to Jimmy Carter to look like a federal department that got shut down, the Interstate Commerce Commission. But I did just discover that last year, Oregon Public Broadcasting reported said the only other county in the state that does not provide local funding to the OSU Extension Service is Multnomah County. So Multnomah County a year ago didn't do it, and it ended its partnership in 2003.
And that's a huge county.
Yeah, that's a huge county. And then on the website at OSU, it says on the Multnomah page, thank you for your interest in OSU Extension in the Portland metro area. Due to lack of Multnomah County funding, we do not have an individual available to answer calls, but you're welcome to contact our faculty and staff via the resources below.
So, all right.
Josephine County could just be joining Multnomah County and saying we got better use for this money and family budgets. And
all right.
That's my view.
All right. Very good. Thank you for the call there, Richard. Herman, it sounds like you got one in your corner there.
Well, trust me, there's a lot more in the corner, including some master gardeners. I've met with some master gardeners. And so what is happening with them is Oregon State University is telling them, if this doesn't pass, your program goes away. And I'm telling them, no, I don't think your program goes away. I said, you pretty much self-fund your program anyways, and I don't see any reason why you can't continue to do that. And I'm sure that the county will accommodate a meeting facility or something like that. Talk to Tamara at the fairgrounds. We can work all those things out. So they're being scared. They're being told that it's all going to go away. And I told them, and they came to my house, and I told them, I said, look, the only way the Master Gardener program is going to go away is if you let it go away. Mm-hmm. So,
all right. Okay. We'll take that to the bank, so to speak. I'll grab one more call here. Do you have a question or comment for Commissioner Baritsugar? Go ahead.
Yes, Commissioner. This is David in Medford. Thanks for being on the air. I want to jump just quickly back to ODOT. What does the Oregon Transportation Commission and our Julie Brown, head of our Rogue Valley Transportation District, our bus, what are they doing taking or ODOT money for our bridges and roads and doing all these other activities, little shuttles and bicycle lanes and stuff? Can you comment on any waste of the state funds? And what's the Oregon Transportation Commission and our Julie Brown and our RVTD, Rogue Valley Transportation District, have anything to do with ODOT? Can you comment on that?
Well, I imagine you may have the same problem with or same situation with Josephine County Transit, Herman. Maybe you could comment on that or not.
Well,
I don't know.
All the transportation stuff, the buses and all that, is paid out of the statewide transportation tax that comes out of every payroll check. Okay, that's where that money comes from. The bike lanes and stuff, that comes out of the gas tax money through ODOT. Now, you got to remember that the ODOT commission, that commission is appointed by the governor and confirmed by the Senate, and they hold the majority, so whoever they want, they get. All right, that's just how it is. So they're all hand-selected people on that commission. And they very, very seldom go against the tide, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
So that's how that works. So I hope that cleared up some of that stuff.
All right.
Some of what he's...
Very good. Hey, Herman, I appreciate the update on this. And so I guess get the popcorn, stay tuned, and we'll see if maybe OSU comes forth, costs up some money, and maybe they can patch this back together. And you could actually find out, even for taxpayers' satisfaction, where the money would actually go OSU. Okay.
What is really strange, Bill, is if I have to go and do a public records request for all of their transactions that they do in Josephine County, isn't that going to look a little awkward that a Josephine County commissioner has to use the public records request to get the information to make decisions on a budget? Doesn't that sound a little strange?
Yeah, just a little bit. Just a little bit.
Yeah.
All right, Herman.
Well,
thanks for clarifying some of what was going on. Like I said, I'm reading this article. I said, oh, we got to talk with Herman. Got to talk with Herman about it. All right. All right, Herman, take care. We will catch you a week from Tuesday because I'm going to be taking a long weekend. All right, just so you know. So you can
deserve it. Take care. Enjoy.
Yes, I do deserve it, I guess. But take care, Herman. And we have Josephine County Commissioner Herman Bertschinger. This is 5 minutes after 8, rather, on KMED and KMED HD1 Eagle Point Medford, KBXG in Grants Pass, KBXG Grants Pass, 99.3 FM, translator K290AF Rogue River, and K294AS Ashland. And what we are going to do next is what we were just mentioning before a few minutes ago, the Diner 62 Real American Quiz. We have some history from 1846 tomorrow, and it involves California. But it's some U.S. history here. 770-5633. I have a $20 gift certificate for you. And remember, Clam Chowder Friday is tomorrow. So good, you'll hear the surf and seagulls. All right. And they still have that amazing two pork chop and eggs or 8-ounce New York steak and eggs on special right now on the weekends. Hearty breakfast, delicious lunches. You know, Diner 62 just south of White City. And if you haven't won this in the last 60 days, you could win it next. Get on the phone, okay?
The following preview has been rated immature for all audiences except...